My name is Jeremy Pierre. I'm professor of biblical counseling down at Southern Baptist Theological Seminary in Louisville, Kentucky. I also was recently appointed as the dean of the Graham School there. So it's pretty busy and pretty crazy, but very thankful for the opportunity to be here. I really do believe in what they're doing here at Lafayette, and I'm grateful for the invitation, and I know you guys enjoy being here too. We're going to deal with insecurity and self-hate, okay? So let me ask the Lord to be with us and to help us. Father, thank you again for your love for us. Thank you for the fact that you think of us and you have formed us, Lord, to think your thoughts after you, even about ourselves, Lord. And so I pray that you'd give me clarity of mind here so that I could teach well. Father, I pray that you would give my friends here, sitting here, clarity of mind so they could receive and interact. Lord, help me to say what is true and to not say what is not true. Father, help us to dwell on the right things, Lord, from your word or in regard to the experience we're talking about here. And Father, just guide us in this next hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I happen to be teaching through Romans in my Sunday school class at Clifton Baptist Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And so we're in Romans 12 right now. I'm going to give a kind of a little introduction to what we're going to be talking about here for something I noticed for the very first time in teaching it this time, okay? Let me just read you this verse. This might be familiar to you. This is Romans 12, starting verse 3. For by the grace of God given to me, I say to everyone among you, to not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but instead to think with sound judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And then he launches into his beautiful talk about how everybody's gifted differently and things like that. I want to point out something that's so obvious and assumed in Paul's command there that it's easy for us to skip over, and it's going to be foundational for understanding even what we're doing here right now about insecurity. And that is this: God cares what you think about yourself. Isn't that interesting? Paul's command was that they judge themselves, they think of themselves, they consider themselves in one light rather than in another. So baked into the whole narrative of the scriptures actually is an assumption that you as a human being created in according to the personhood of God, to reflect the personhood of God, you are self-aware. In other words, you believe and want things about yourself. And that's either going to be accurate or inaccurate. It's either going to be in line with what God says or out of line with it. But I might be pointing out something that you're like, duh, obviously. But then if you think about it, in terms of your approach to counseling and approach to care, maybe you don't pay enough attention to the fact that people carry self-perception. They see themselves in a certain light. And it's wise for you to not make it the exclusive focus of counseling, maybe, but certainly to make it a factor of awareness as you go. That's just a little insight I wanted to point out to segue us into why we're even talking about insecurity and self-hate. And what I want to say to you is that Jesus loves people who hate themselves. And you're going to be conveying that love to someone who hates themselves. You're going to be doing that in a way that's not going to be borrowing from different pop, secular, psychological ideas. It's going to be based on a biblical narrative of who we are. Okay, so let me start with an introductory scenario, as you even have in your notes there, okay? I remember when I was in junior high, I went to a small Christian school that could not afford a football program. And so like the Greek gods of autumn were not the football players, they were the soccer players. And you all know what style soccer players have. They're always like super lean and tan, and they have blonde hair that like flows down, and they're just awesome, right? Everybody wants to be a soccer player. And it was just really unfortunate for guys like me who just liked books and like hanging out, wasn't super athletic, you know? It was a bummer for guys like me because all of the attention, all of the glory went there. Everybody showed up. The homecoming game was a soccer game. Everybody, just the whole attention of the school always went that way. And I remember being very well aware of this when I was in junior high. All of you remember junior high with some amount of chagrin, you know what I mean? And you just think back, like, I never want to repeat those years. And part of why you don't want to repeat those years is you're just so hyper aware at that stage of everything that's wrong with you, right? Or at least that you perceive to be wrong with you, right? And I remember talking to my parents one night, my mom in particular, and I remember I was like in this fit of self-pity. That's the only way I can describe it. And I remember complaining about all these things that are true of them, that are not true of me. And I remember I did something I hadn't yet done, at least that I can recall, that I'd not yet done in front of my parents, and at least in front of my mom. And I said, I hate myself. I just blurted it out. I hate myself. Now, you have to understand, my mom is like the most tender-hearted, soft-hearted person in the world. She never raises her voice. Like, she's the kind of person that'll just pat your hand and say that you're the most amazing thing to ever breathe, and anybody who says a mean word to you is so stupid and idiotic, okay? That's how she is, okay? But when I said I hate myself, I remember the look on her face. It got hard. She got angry. And she said to me, Jeremy, I'll never forget this. She says, Jeremy, you have no right. And I remember thinking, what does that mean? That's a weird response. I said, I hate myself, and I'm like wanting pity from you. Like, tell me I'm the best. And she suddenly says, you have no right? What does that have to do with anything? Well, that's a riddle we're going to solve here. But I had awoken something in my mom that greatly offended her. And I'm going to demonstrate to you in this talk, I think my mom was operating out of really good theology in her response to me, a really good understanding of who God is and of who I am. Now, so we'll leave that hanging there for a second. The way I have this lesson and then the next lesson kind of arranged is very similar. This is how I teach my classes at Southern Seminary. We do extended versions of what we're doing sort of in brief tonight. And I typically go to describe the experience that we're going to be addressing. Then we move to biblical themes that then describe in a specific way the various factors of that experience. And then I give you some strategy to then work with people in a counseling situation or scenario that will help them. Okay? The reason I have it laid out like this is because this is really how the rhythms of counseling work. You start with what a person's coming in to talk to you about. You're not starting with a verse from the Bible. Now, you are starting with a view of them that's been thoroughly bathed and structured, hopefully, according to Scripture. But you have to take the factors of their experience seriously. You have to know what it is that they're going through, because they may not be dealing with self-hate. They might be dealing with something else. You got to know that, right? So that's why I have it laid out the way I do. So what I want to talk to you first is, as you see there, is common themes in the experience of insecurity and self-hate. So just this may be as obvious. Not everybody who experiences self-hate or insecurity is going to experience all this stuff. I'm just equipping you with different insights that might help you read better. So first, insecurity is the tendency to obsess about something you perceive as wrong with yourself. It involves intrusive thoughts, negative feelings, and altered behaviors. So, some of you took the earlier tracks, I think, and you may or may not remember, I've talked to you in the past about the dynamic heart, okay? And in a nutshell, it just simply means this. Your heart thinks cognitively, it desires affectively, and it chooses volitionally. You have to remember all that if you're going to really address somebody in a wholehearted way. So we think, so we have to be instructed. We desire and feel. We have to be comforted. Our desires have to be challenged. And then we choose volitionally. We have a will. We choose and make those responses. So here's my point here as it relates to insecurity. It affects every aspect of the heart. So someone who's really struggling with insecurity, it's going to alter the way they think, it's going to alter the way they feel, and it's going to alter the way they behave, what they choose to do. That's what I'm getting at. So let me give you kind of a silly example, and then I'll give you a more serious example, okay? Here's what I mean by this.